I think I'll just go have another cup of coffee and read my newspaper and believe everything they're telling me. Well, they'll tell you all kinds of stuff. Beloved, listen. The Word of God says God has a witness. These are two what? Witnesses. Witnesses to what? Witnesses to truth. And this morning, it may be that I'm the witness in your life for this moment in time. I speak as an oracle. Here today, gone tomorrow. You may never hear me again. You may live across town or on the other end of another city, and you may say, well, I'll never go back to that church. But the fact of the matter is this is the moment God is saying. God is coming. Things are happening. You need to get your mind around it, lest you be terrorized. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, and when they had finished their testimony, I like that. Wonder when I'm going to finish mine. Because when a man finishes his testimony, when a woman finishes the ministry God gave her, then they can go on home. But these guys can't be touched till they're done. When they finish their testimony, the Bible says, the beast that descendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them. That's the devil. And he shall overcome them, and it's the Antichrist, empowered by the devil. We're going to see him in chapter 13 more deliberately, but it says, and he shall overcome them, and he shall kill them. Wow, that sounds like a sad note in history. Oh, the story gets better. God's not apologizing. He's saying, I just want you to know some pretty cool stuff's going to happen right about now. And the Bible says that the people and kindreds and everybody, it says in verse 8, it says, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt. We just saw that in Isaiah chapter 3. The Bible calls them Sodom. Why did he call them Sodom? Because they no longer hid their sin, but they flaunted it. Sound familiar today? Oh, God forbid that we say anything is wrong anymore. God calls it wrong, and I'm on His team. Bible says it calls it Sodom, and he calls it Egypt. Sodom because they had their sin on their sleeve. Egypt because they loved the world and turned to the world for all of their help. They turned to Antichrist for a covenant for 7 years, finding only in the middle of it that he is going to break it and seize the throne called the Ark of the Covenant, called the Holy of Holies, and say he's God. They're going to find that because they've chased all of the things men could offer them, that God will allow them to go very, very low. And if you want to know whether it's really the great city Sodom and Egypt, says where our Lord was crucified, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about Jerusalem. And he calls them spiritually Sodom and Egypt. And the Bible says in verse 9, and they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations, underline this if you are prone to do so, shall see their dead bodies. CNN, Fox News, we report. You decide. Everybody's honing in. Right? Everybody can watch, and they are, because this is so cool, they're dead! Woohoo, they're dead! It's not going to stop with just watching. You were there, perhaps Clarence Thomas hearings, perhaps O.J. Simpson trial, perhaps maybe some of those things. Why did God let that stuff go out there? Like, because He wants to remind you, this is how we roll down here. We do this. We are news addicts sometimes when it's just the right story. And when these guys die, that's going to be huge news, because for 1,203 score days, they were preaching in the face of the most powerful man of the universe, and he could not touch them. He killed them! Our guy won! And it's going to be a cause for celebration. Not just that. The Bible says, they that dwell upon the earth, verse 10, shall rejoice over them, and they shall make merry in them. Verse 9, I don't want to miss this, because it says, those shall see their dead bodies for 3.5 days. Shall not suffer their bodies to be put into graves. Man, they're going to have tripods out there with cameras right on them, so everybody can have some. You know how some people have these new videos, and they put them on their TV, and the video is a fireplace. That's the most silly thing in the world. You have to get too close. I realized I had to get really close to the TV to get warm. It didn't even work. Just kidding. It doesn't work. But it's the way we live, and they're going to have that on their TV, and it's going to comfort them. It's going to warm their hearts. Man, if we could take those two guys down, then we are on our game, man. Boy, we've got this thing going. We're good. We are going to win. Our guy is going to win. And the Bible says in verse 10, it says, they shall dwell on the earth, shall rejoice over them, make merry. Look at it. Send gifts one to another. They're going to have a Christmas, a satanic Christmas. Are they really that wrapped up in them? Yes. Why? Because God intends for them to be so. I mean, the most amazing thing is to see fire come down out of heaven and kill people. And these guys didn't do anything but defend themselves. Folks, listen, I'm talking some pretty remarkable things. Why? Because extreme times demand extreme measures. Jesus is taking the world back. 3.5 years of tribulation, and then another 3.5 of great tribulation, and Jesus comes down in chapter 10. He sets a foot on the sea and a foot on the earth, and He says, I'm here. And the delay will be no more. That was the center of chapter 10. Delay is going to be no more delay. No more delay. People all throughout history are going to have been saying, man, if only the Lord would come, we could avoid this war, or we could avoid this trauma, or we could avoid this plague. He says, delay will be no longer. And when Jesus is on the scene, folks, we don't get dead early anymore. We don't die at 60, 70, or 80 years old. Child shall be 100 years old and play on the hole of an asp, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and my goodness, we're going to have a time. And we will say with Job, I shall see it with my own eyes and not those of another. Because my Redeemer liveth and He stands on the earth in this latter day. Ah, we have a lot to look forward to. Do not ever forget who you are, saint of God, child of God. Do not forget who you are, because you are in for some remarkable and awesome things. The Bible says that these guys are going to be laughed about and made merry over. I love the word merry. I don't know if that even occurs anywhere else in the Bible, but they're going to make merry in verse 10. Sounds just like Christmas. Sending gifts sounds like Christmas, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. The word torment literally means to strike with a touchstone to find out what's really in your core. Now, folks, every time the Word of God comes to your heart, you are being struck with a touchstone. You either say, wow, that's good, I praise God for the Word. Even if it hurts, it's a knife, you know, it's a sharp two-edged sword, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah, it hurts sometimes, it's like a scalpel. But you appreciate the scalpel because you know it removes the corruption, it takes out the disease, and you're okay with that because God is God and He is right and He is good. And you and the inner man concur with the law of God that it is good, even though you are not. We are broken, we are battered, we are beaten, we are sinful. God loves us. He overcomes our sin by letting His Son die for us. He took our sin upon Himself. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And the Bible says that when we believe in Him, He imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus. So we get unsearchable riches. We'll never be in debt again. We get to be saints. We get to be children of God. And we get to be that now. Oh, beloved, don't forget who you are. But every time the Word of God goes, it strikes you and it says something inside of you. It reveals something about you. It either torments you or it comforts you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, David said. And they tormented the people because they kept saying, he's the Antichrist and y'all are going to hell if you don't turn. He's the Antichrist. Don't take the mark or you'll go to hell, because everybody who takes the mark will burn with fire and brimstone for day and night. Chapter 14. He says they're going to have no rest day or night forever and ever, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. Oh, I hate messages like that. Touchstone. Do you know what makes something more precious? It's a reality that you might just almost have missed it. You've heard of people buying things, you know, in a yard sale, garage sale. Five people just sat up in their chairs. Yard sales. What's he going to say? Garage sales. And that one guy bought that one thing for $2. It was some Picasso or something. How do you think the guy felt who was there just before him and had just lifted that thing up and looked behind it and moved on? Yeah. See? That's what it is. You're looking behind the Picasso, but it's right in front of you. Jesus is Lord. And the Bible says that in the third and a half days, after 3.5 days in verse 11, the Spirit of life from the God entered into them and they stood up on... I love this. They stood up on their feet. I just see them getting up. You know, it was Lazarus that was dead, and he had been in the grave for several days. And he says, they said, Jesus, don't open the tomb. By this time, he's stinking. These guys were looking pretty bad a moment ago. But if God can take the dust of the earth, He can take a corrupting corpse, and He can make a man out of it. And the same God who can make a man out of the dust of the earth can take a sinner and make him a saint. He can translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The same God who allowed these men protection for 3.5 years, the Bible says after 3.5 days. Why? As if to punctuate, not 3 days and not 4 days, but 3.5, because He wants you to remember, I've been telling you for 3.5 years. And they get up and they dust themselves off and they give each other a big hug and tears are in their eyes because they're just so happy about the fact that they're in on this and God has blessed them with life. And they've just seen some things for 3.5 days. They're just thinking, this is getting good! We got a behind-the-scenes picture! It's getting better! You ever seen the kids' eyes at a little child? They got the big old saucer eyes and it's Christmas and you know they're going to get what they want. I've actually seen videos on that funniest home video. Funniest thing in the world. Oh, I got it! I'm so happy! Have you ever seen that one? Anybody else see it? Nobody saw it. I'm sorry. It's so funny. They just, oh, I got it. They know now. Not just by faith, but for 3.5 days they've seen, and now they're back. And they're just waiting for the call. And it in fact does come. Verse 12 says, well, wait a minute, don't want to miss it. Verse 11, they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They were watching them on their TVs. TV just grew ice cold. And the Bible says that in a great voice, in verse 12, they that saw them, and they heard a great voice. Who heard it? Everybody. They heard a great voice, and that great voice said unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And everybody who's watching their TV, heart stopped. Breath caught in their throat. And some little kid in the corner, about 12 years old, said, uh-oh. Because it is uh-oh. Why did God do it that way? Because He cares. Every time a touchstone hits your heart, every time these men said something that bothered everybody in the room or everybody watching by TV, it hurt. You know what happens after a while? It doesn't hurt so much anymore. In fact, these people had gotten so calloused after 3.5 years that their hearts not only weren't hurting anymore, they were inverted when they finally got dead. They weren't just indifferent anymore. They hated them. Because the torment, the striking of the touchstone on their hearts revealed that they were wicked, they were evil, they were sinful, and they were on their way to a godless eternal hell. As the arm or the hand itched and the forehead itched, as they heard these guys say, you took the mark, you're going down. You took the mark, there's no hope. You took the mark, it's over. And they didn't like that word. Every time the touchstone strikes your heart, every time you resonate something, you either say, I'm not buying it, or I don't want anything to do with it, or you say, bring me on. Bring it on. Keep bringing it, because that's me. That's us. That's ours. I led a guy to the Lord. His name was Ed Brown back in Virginia. When I first got out of the college and went into a youth ministry, this young man was there. He'd go with us canoeing, and we had a good time with him. And his wife was a believer, and she had been praying for him for years. I remember Ed got saved on the front porch of his cabin. He had a log cabin he built with his own hands. He was like 30 years old and had a camper business. And he was just really doing well. But I shared Christ with him. And he sat there on the front porch of his cabin. And he just broke in tears. And he just asked Jesus to be his Savior. And that quick he was born again. He looked at me with wet eyes and he says, thank you so much. Here I was, 23 years old, leading a 30-year-old guy to the Lord. It took a little humility and humbleness to let a young man lead you to the Lord, but he let me. A couple weeks later, he said, you know what? I used to go to church and feel like I was sitting there just kind of bored and wondering when it was getting over. He said, but you know what? He said, it's sort of like I was there but didn't know any of the players. But now when I go to church, every time they preach, he said, it's like I'm on the team. I'm on the team. Brother Bud Kraft told me the other day, he said he used to be looking at the clock wondering when it was going to get over. He says, now I'm thinking, is it over already? Where are you today? The touchstone struck a heart. Are you getting calloused or are you getting comfort? Because this is good stuff right here. I'm excited about who He is. And I'm excited that He's coming. And I don't care about Korea. And I don't care about Iran. Because I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. Some old preacher used to say, oh, Gabriel's puckering his lips, man. He's ready to go. When He blows that trumpet and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised first, the Bible says that we who are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with Him in the Lord, in the clouds with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! So how's your retirement plan? The believers is out of this world.